A long time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible says, Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. The shepherds watched their flocks by night. They saw a bright new shining star and heard a choir from heaven sing. The music came from afar. King's born today, and man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.
Welcome back. Tom Jones' Christmas song. It's a little weird. It's a little weird. But not entirely. Celine Dion gets excluded from the David Foster playlist, I think for obvious reasons. The weird satanic clothing line, the gender, not even neutral, the sort of genderless clothing line, and as many people have observed, you know, if you look at the children that have been photographed, they just look miserable. And I wonder why that is. You know, why would you do that? I think there's something more going on there than meets the eye, if you know what I mean. There's more to that than just, well, you know, we inadvertently photographed children. I mean, you can make children laugh while they're wearing ugly garments. You might, only for an instant, you know, this child was miserable for 20 minutes, but there was about 15 seconds in there where this child broke a smile. And the Bernaysian contingent is masterful at capturing those things and then construing, you know, that as sort of the categorical example of what was going on there when clearly it wasn't, you know, for anyone who was there. So the fact that all of the children are depicted as miserable, I think there's something going on there. Something deeper than maybe what we realize. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just imagining things and reading into things. But in any case, it's weird that in a marketing campaign for a clothing line, you know, you would have miserable looking children. I can't imagine how that speaks to anyone in a way that would, you know, loosen the purse strings and make people think, yeah, you know what, we should buy that. I want my kids to look that miserable. Let's get two of those. So back to just sort of finish the thought that I was speaking to at the end of the first hour, this idea, the victory that overcometh the world in the King James or in NASB 95, the victory that has overcome the world, what is it? Our faith. This is no small matter. In John chapter 17, you know, there's this concept of in the world but not of the world, and Paul says some things that are, you know, you could loosely frame that way. There's a passage in John 17 that really, it's Jesus speaking, and it gets to the heart of this idea, I think, in the world but not of the world. And so John chapter 17, starting beginning in verse 11, Jesus speaking, it says, I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, Holy Father. Jesus speaking, keep them in your name. This is the NASB 95 translation. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I am come to you, and these things I speak in the world, these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So that's the whole in the world but not of the world kind of thing. I think John 17:11 through 16 speaks to that. In verse 17, just to finish, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. So this is an interesting passage, you know, and especially verse 11. Jesus Christ himself prays, Holy Father, keep them in your name. Holy Father. So there is a humility and a reverence that I think is lost on most of us because, you know, and then skipping ahead in verse 25, verses 24 and 25, continuing Jesus speaking, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. So this is an interesting passage, you know, and the idea that Jesus Christ prays, Holy Father, Righteous Father, is something that I think is lost on people. You know, the theosophical contingent will say, when you say the Lord's Prayer, they'll say, oh yeah, you know, you're just regurgitating something. He said, pray then, you know, after this manner. He didn't say, you know, regurgitate. Well, you know, if you look at John 17, for example, I think it's much more than just a model. It's to follow that to the letter is, you know, I would say, broadly speaking, it's a Romans 14 kind of thing. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. But I would not. I think that's the same old Hellenistic criticism from of old, again, Pyrrhonism, brought forward by Sextus Empiricus and into the more recent past, you know, by others, including folks like Kant and Marx et al. The critical theory that dates into antiquity, but we don't hear that. It's a truncated history, you know, that becomes a limited hangout, modified limited hangout, so that you don't go investigating further and realize, my goodness, this is a broad conspiracy. I mean, it's crazy enough if it goes back to, you know, 170 years or so, but more than 1700 years? Wow. Something is clearly going on here. If that's the case, what is guiding and directing this influence? And what is the criticism directed at primarily, or whom? fascinating thing. And so, as much as anything, as I've maintained recently, these broadcasts are intended to be kind of a history lesson, or at least kind of shining a light on corners of history that we have been, you know, that have sort of been occluded, intentionally occluded, and we have been dissuaded from investigating or encouraged to direct our attention elsewhere, perhaps to amusement. Bread and circuses. It's a good thing we don't have any of those distracting us these days. Which, you know, reminds me, that's kind of the double-edged sword of the movie list. You know, do you encourage someone to do something? You can find it on the streaming services, and then suddenly we're all binge-watching things. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but that's, you know, hopefully we all conduct ourselves like adults. So the announcements that I didn't finish in the first hour. This is week 5 of the book drive. Perhaps you've heard we're having a book drive. And it's week 5 through January 8. Now through January 8. Donate $100 plus for an opportunity to receive a book previously owned by John Stadmiller himself. The big guy himself. And this week's book, I'm not sure. So when I know... Oh, okay, it'll be posted at 3 today. So check the... For details, check the website, republicbroadcasting.org. And I'm sure that I will announce it tomorrow. So there's that bit. And congratulations to previous winners. Last week's winner, Gary in California, congratulations. And all of the previous winners, Robert, Tyler, David, Ingrid, and now Gary, congratulations. And again, thank you for your generosity in supporting RBN, because obviously it's your support that allows RBN to continue. The countdown, the Holy Day countdown, I did the explainer, took most of the first hour. The Holy Day countdown, 20 days until Christmas. 20 days. Actually, it's less than that, isn't it? It is more like 19 days, 13 hours and 46 minutes or so, but who's counting? And 27 days until New Year's, but actually 26 days, 13 hours and 46 minutes or so, but who's counting? And I've been doing a movie a day. One that I think makes the list, I like it, and it speaks to kind of the spirit in a roundabout sort of way, you know, selflessness in a way that is sort of transcendent of ourselves, not in a, why can't I think of the word? I'll think of it. Gets back to what I was saying before. You know, this concept, this idea that it doesn't matter who you are or where you are, that we are all sort of imbued with this acknowledgement of these kinds of motives. You know, all of the words that have been conscripted, egalitarian, whatever noble selflessness you might ascribe that transcends the individual, this is something that, regardless of where you are, even the most hardened heart recognizes and values this. Even the most Machiavellian, I don't think anyone is beyond the reach of it, which is why you have so many movies and things that that borrow this theme, or at least elements of it. So my movie pick for today is An Affair to Remember, 1957. Cary Grant, Deborah Kerr. And, you know, if you can watch that scene, Cary Grant did a masterful job. He was an interesting fellow, and without, you know, setting aside his controversial history, if you can watch the scene where suddenly he puts two and two together and not shed a tear, then you must be a rock. So it's pretty remarkable. So a lot of fun. If you've seen it, great. If you haven't, all the better, I think. An Affair to Remember. Cary Grant, Deborah Kerr, and others, other fun folks. I think this time of year, personally, every day should be White Christmas Day, Irving Berlin's White Christmas, because speaking of kind of the spirit of the season, again, no one embodies that to me more than Irving Berlin. And it's interesting that everything is billed, you know, when you watch an Irving Berlin, when you watch White Christmas, when you watch Holiday Inn or these kinds of movies, there's a reason that it's billed Irving Berlin's White Christmas. And I think it's much more than just he was very successful at the time. Sure, there was that, and you could say it's that and only that, but I would argue it's much more than that. It's because he is the embodiment of the spirit that I'm describing. He's the personification of it to an extent. And I'm not trying to ascribe some religious, position or title or anything like that. I'm just saying this spirit of genuine selflessness that transcends the individual is something that, you know, I think Irving Berlin embodies. So for those that don't know, his personal story, I think, is fascinating. And I'll just give you that from the Wikipedia entry under Irving Berlin's personal life. This is the story. Personal life, marriages. It reads, in February 1912, after a brief whirlwind courtship, he married 20-year-old Dorothy Goetz of Buffalo, New York, the sister of one of Berlin's collaborators, E. Ray Goetz. During their honeymoon in Havana, she contracted typhoid fever, and doctors were unable to treat her illness when she returned to New York. So on their honeymoon, she died July 17 of that year. So think about that. In February 1912, after a brief whirlwind courtship, February, and by July, she was gone. Left with writer's block, understandably so, from months after Goetz's death, he eventually wrote his first ballad, When I Lost You, to express his grief. Years later, in the 1920s, he fell in love with a young heiress. So years, yeah, 8 years or so. He fell in love with a young heiress, Ellen MacKay, a daughter of Clarence MacKay, the socially prominent head of the Postal Telegraph Cable Company, and an author in her own right. Because Berlin was Jewish and she was a Catholic of Irish descent, their life was followed in every possible detail by the press. This was a big deal back then. I suppose it could be made a big deal today as well, but we don't understand it in the kinds of context of the day. You know, when both groups were essentially vilified in certain circles. And, you know, for more on that, you might listen to, I don't know, among other things, John Taylor Gatto's history lesson and some of the things that folks like Alan Watts said. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing called Vote with Defeat. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
Where the tree tops glisten and children listen
to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
Welcome back. Darn it, she snuck in there anyway, didn't she? She has a beautiful voice. What do you do? What do you do? So, to finish the story of Irving Berlin, who embodies this spirit of selflessness that transcends the individual, where does it come from? I believe it doesn't come from ourselves. Which is interesting. It'd be interesting to ask Irving Berlin. You know, I think that's the obvious question. We identify so much with this to the extent that the movies and songs, the moves and music that Berlin was, that he gave us, we still play to this day, 100 years later. So I think it's interesting. So because Berlin was Jewish and Ellen MacKay was a Catholic of Irish descent, their life was followed in every possible detail by the press, which found the romance of an immigrant from the Lower East Side and a young heiress a good story. They met in 1924, and her father opposed the match from the start. He went so far as to send her off to Europe to find other suitors and forget Berlin. However, Berlin wooed her with letters and songs over the airwaves, such as Remember and All Alone, and she wrote him daily. Biographer Philip Furia writes that newspapers rumored they were engaged before she returned from Europe, and some Broadway shows even performed skits of the lovelorn songwriter. After her return, she and Berlin were besieged by the press, which followed them everywhere. Variety reported that her father vowed that their marriage, quote, would only happen over my dead body, end quote. As a result, they decided to elope and were married in a simple civil ceremony at the municipal building away from media attention. And these are affluent, you know, socialite kinds of folks. I mean, Berlin was successful, very successful by this time. So they could have done something much bigger, and yet this is what they chose. Even if you do it secretly, I mean, they could still do something much bigger secretly. The wedding news made the front page of the New York Times. The marriage took her father by surprise, and he was stunned upon reading about it. The bride's mother, however, who was at the time divorced from MacKay, wanted her daughter to follow the dictates of her own heart. This is the storyline of all of these movies. You know, in an era where we're not supposed to observe the facts, we're supposed to follow the empirical evidence, speaking of the criticism of Sextus Empiricus and the denial of the faith, you know, the victory that has overcome the world, that kind of thing. This is the one dangerous sort of caveat. You know, we the one sort of parenthetical aside is Jeremiah 17:9, and when it comes to following the dictates of one's heart. Anyway, I digress. Continuing, Berlin had gone to her mother's home before the wedding and had obtained her blessing, which is interesting from a variety of standpoints, but I'll leave it at that. There followed reports that the bride's father disowned his daughter. Here's where it gets interesting. There followed reports that the bride's father disowned his daughter because of the marriage. In response, Berlin gave the rights to Always, a song still played at weddings to this day. And it's difficult to find a wedding that it's not played at. In response, Berlin gave the rights to Always, a song still played at weddings, to her as a wedding present. Ellen was thereby guaranteed a steady income regardless of what might happen with the marriage. So he said, this is my best, and it's all yours. For nearly 3 years, MacKay refused to speak to the Berlins. But they reconciled after the death of Berlin's son, Irving Berlin Jr., on Christmas Day in 1928, less than 1 month after he was born. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house, or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
There's a little girl trembling on a cold December morn, crying for mama's arms at an orphanage just outside a little Chinatown, where the forgotten are but half a world away. The stockings by the fire, and dream about the day when I can finally call you mine. It's Christmas time again, but you're not home. Your family is here, and yet you're somewhere else alone. So tonight I pray that God will come and hold you in his arms. And I'll tell you from my heart, I wish you a Merry Christmas.
Welcome back. All right, let's finish this story. You know, there's a lot to be concerned about, but I think there's as much or more for which to be thankful. And maybe we'll talk more about that in this segment. But continuing with the story of Irving Berlin and Ella McKay, this is why I think, you know, every day, especially during this season, we could just call it White Christmas, you know, Irving Berlin's White Christmas. That could be the movie. That could be the spirit It's you know, I've seen White Christmas, Irving Berlin's White Christmas, more times than probably any five people I know put together. And I think it's, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm simple-minded or easily amused, but every time I watch it, the humor and, you know, the playfulness, I always enjoy. The silly slapstick sort of, you know, the humor of Danny Kaye, for example, and just the subtleties and the nuance is always fun. You know, the obvious, one of the most obvious is, you know, when Wallace and Davis meet, you know, Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye's characters, when they meet the Haynes sisters, Rosemary Clooney and Vera Ellen, to watch Danny Kaye and Vera Ellen dance is just magnificent. But, you know, as they dance, and it's really kind of a musical, and musicals are not always fun. All musicals are not created equal, but this is one that it's in a league of its own, I would say. Anyway, as they're dancing on the dance floor before they go outside and do their little dancing number, to watch the interplay and to watch as Bing Crosby and Rosemary Clooney get closer together while they fight, basically. They're sort of bickering, but they keep scooting closer together, and Bing Crosby is touching Rosemary Clooney's hand and so on. It's those things are cute. They're fun. And there's a lot of that. So interesting. And the mockery of choreography is hilarious because it's much bigger than that. You know, it's a criticism of Dadaism and post-structuralism and brutalism and all kinds of things. It is a mockery, and to point out the obvious absurdity of this and how mesmerizing beauty and art are in contrast to this brutalist, Dadaist kind of impetus that had sort of swept Western culture. Anyway, continuing with the story. So backing up just a little bit, there followed reports that the bride's father, so Irving Berlin and Ella McKay are married, and they eloped in a simple civil ceremony, and the wedding made the front page of the New York Times. Irving Berlin was at the time the most successful songwriter of his era already. So there followed reports that the bride's father disowned his daughter because of the marriage. And Clarence McKay was not, he was someone of prominence and influence himself. And you can read about that even on his Wikipedia entry. By the way, Clarence, is that your right hand that we don't see? Is your right hand hidden? What's going on there? So there followed reports that the bride's father disowned his daughter because of the marriage. In response, Berlin gave the rights to Always, a song still played at weddings, to her as a wedding present. This is clearly his best work. This is my best, and it's all yours. Saying no matter what. Ellen was thereby guaranteed a steady income regardless of what might happen with the marriage. Talk about the anti-prenuptial agreement. For nearly 3 years, McKay refused to speak to the Berlins. That's Clarence, Ellen's father. But they reconciled after the death of Berlin's son, Irving Berlin Jr., on Christmas Day 1928, less than 1 month after he was born. Their marriage remained a love affair and they were inseparable until she died in July 1988 at the age of 85. They had four children during their 63 years of marriage. And, you know, that's quite a story. Their marriage remained a love affair, and they were inseparable until she died in July 1988 at age 85. So, you know, one of the other points that has been mentioned, I don't know if it's still on Irving Berlin's Wikipedia page, but that has been mentioned in this history is that well, in simple terms, as the story goes, it may or may not have transpired that Ellen's father, Clarence McKay, lost it all, so to speak, in the crash. And Irving Berlin bailed him out, as the story goes. So there's also that. But it was much more discreet than that. So, you know, this is, to me, the embodiment of what the Christmas season represents. Goodwill on peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and a transcendent selflessness that we all aspire to, that we all recognize, that we all appreciate, regardless of how hard-hearted. And it's easy to become cynical. It's easy to jump on the bandwagon of cynicism. Not so easy to hold fast to the ideal. So, a few things from Republic Broadcasting that you can see right now, just to sort of, I don't know, put this in context. You know, there's an article on RBN titled "I'm Just Sad at What's Happening in Our Country" by Frosty Wooldridge. And so here's a question. You know, when this sort of reminds me of the ire that has been fomented against Muslims, generally speaking, at, you know, coming out of the you know, sort of Gladio B era, where we're gonna vilify everyone, we're gonna create a radical Wahhabi Salafi fraction that calls itself the true Muslims, and you know, because of that, then we can broadly categorize these others and vilify them by association. Well, you call yourself a Muslim, they say that they're the true Muslims, so you must be evil too. They do bad things, and that's an equivocation fallacy, and it is a fallacy, especially when you have, you know, folks coming out after strategy of tension events saying, whoa, don't associate us with them, because we are not them and they are not us. But whenever those discussions arise, I say, well, what about the mainstream news accounts of Muslims forming a human chain around a Roman Catholic Church, for example, or some other place of, you know, so-called Christian faith, and not allowing, you know, terrorists to have their way with these folks? How do you explain that then? Who, you know, these people are standing in opposition to that Wahhabi, Salafi, Diobandi contingent because they understand the nuance in a way the rest of us don't, because we have been intentionally made ignorant of that, and that nuance has been, again, sort of occluded from our field of view. It's an important nuance, cannot be overstated. Or, you know, the bus full of Christians and Muslims who are forced to debus by Boko Haram. And before the Muslims and Christians get off the bus, the Muslims are saying, here, take some of our clothing so that, you know, they won't do bad things. The Boko Haram folks. So, you know, again, Muslims protecting Christians from so-called Muslims, the Wahhabi, Salafi contingent that has been radicalized. I mean, that's Operation Cyclone that created the Afghan Mujahideen, which became Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Splintering 1,000 different directions. Where is the support coming from? I mean, even Frontline PBS says that the Saudi textbooks are a convenient primer. It's funny, you know, you can't read. That's okay. You know what? We'll teach you how to read with this Wahhabi textbook. And they're creating radicals. So it reminds me of that kind of conversation. And so what should we do then? Well, what do these Muslim folks do that understand the nuance? They protect the Christian folks and are praying for others. So in the laundry list that Frosty Wooldridge presents, I wonder what would happen if we were praying for each other, if we were praying for those who do us wrong. You know, I mean, after all, isn't that the new commandment? So, you know, this really gets to the heart of what I would call the spirit of or reason for the season. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and 44, Jesus said in the King James, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Can you imagine? What is expected is the cynicism and the vilification of one another and the dehumanization and barbarism and all of that. I think that's all, wherever you look, I think you see evidence that that's what we're encouraged to adopt. Cynicism and brutality and a blunted feeling toward and view of our fellow man. And I just hope that this Christmas season we can resist that influence to whatever extent and really work toward being an example of the best in ourselves, you know, generally speaking, that we would not succumb to these dark forces and allow ourselves to be made vicious . So Oswald Chambers. Lately, I have been mentioning Oswald Chambers. Maybe I'll do that in the last segment. Maybe. I think today is interesting. You know, in the age of the law of attraction, I have to say, yesterday's entry, the law of antagonism, is interesting, especially in this context. The basis of physical, mental, moral, and spiritual life is antagonism, he writes. This is the open fact of life. So there's an antagonism. And I think what I was just talking about is evidence of it. There's a battle. And so we are engaged in that battle daily, whether we like it or not, whether we want it or not. And I think that's something, again, that should soften us to one another, regardless of station in life. That is the reality, the law of antagonism. And we all face it in one way or another. So hopefully that softens our countenance toward one another. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Treasure of heaven, brilliant like the stars in the wintry sky. Joy of the Father, reach through the darkness, shine across the earth.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Father, you
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. Let's go to the phones. Roger in Ohio, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, I thought maybe throw in a couple more movies you might enjoy.
Oh, okay.
One's called The Bishop's Wife.
Yeah, absolutely.
And another one that I watched on YouTube was Portrait of Jenny, which was Joseph Cotten and Jennifer Jones. And I thought those were kind of unusual, little different kind of movies. And the only thing I was thinking about Irving Berlin and all that, I was born in 1952 and was really frowned upon if a Protestant married a Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you married a Catholic, you had to become Catholic, but if you didn't, your children had to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. I think, you know, Irving Berlin, if his children were raised up Jewish, just non-Christian, or they were raised up Catholic, who knows? But this is why a lot of people oppose mixed marriages.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren to have the same beliefs that they have.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, this is...
Yeah, that's just signs of the times for sure. Most people don't know what they believe or why today, and those kinds of... tenets of faith, so to speak, mean much less. That gets really to the heart of kind of the meta level abstraction of that in that context that I've been talking about. You know, a person's faith is sort of secondary to the scientism to which everyone ascribes, whether they realize it or not. And people don't understand that order of priorities, so to speak, influences how they conduct their lives, including what you're talking about right now.
Well, over the last 40 years, I have not watched any national TV, the TV shows or anything. So, you know, when I see people say things or you know, like women are saying, I have the right to kill my baby, and it's really shocking. Because you wonder where are they getting these crazy ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if someone's a liar to you, he's going to always be a liar.
Mm-hmm.
So why do these people keep turning on the same liars and being lied to all the time?
It's curious, isn't it?
And being brainwashed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at the end times, all the hatred of history is going to bubble up to the top. So you're going to see all this hatred going on.
Yep.
And I think Satan just pulled a trigger with this vaccination. I think we're going to be in the end time because he's pulled the trigger to kill mankind or alter mankind.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I think might happen. Nobody knows for sure, but only God does. So.
Well,
I listened to your whole show today.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it, Roger.
And you,
thanks for
you
the
have
call.
A good day. All
thanks,
right,
you
goodbye.
Too. This is why we need more prayer. This is why I've been saying, you know, the most powerful weapon on earth that we have access to is prayer. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.